Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We're looking at the adventures of St. Paul this fall. And last week, if you remember, we focused on his conversion and calling on the road to Damascus. After that, it takes him a while to sort of absorb what's happened. It comes as such a shock to his system. He's back in Tarsus, up in Turkey, and Barnabas comes to bring him down from there to the center stage of history. He brings him down to help with the work that's going on in the church in Antioch, Syria. And this was a very powerful church. It's the first church that sends aid to another church in another country. It's the first church to be integrated with both people of Jewish and Gentile backgrounds, and it's the first church to intentionally send out missionaries. So a very powerful early church. We have Paul and Barnabas have been on their first missionary journey with John Mark. And this scene takes place as they're thinking about a second journey. And we'll give the background to all of this in the sermon. Acts 15. After a while, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go and see how the brothers and sisters are getting on in the various towns where we proclaim the word of the Lord." And Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them. But Paul insisted that the man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on to share in their work was not the man to take with them on this second journey. The dispute was so sharp that Paul and Barnabas parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul and Silas started on his journey, commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. Paul traveled through Syria and Cilicia, which is part of Turkey, bringing new strength to the churches. The next reading is just a little fragment from St. Paul 15 years later. He's in prison. "I have no one with me. Get hold of Mark and bring him with you. He is of great help to me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever really messed up at some point in your life? Have you blown it? I have on many occasions. I have no mechanical ability whatsoever. And my father, I can remember making these helicrafters, shortwave radios. He used to do that for relaxation, building those old shortwave radios. That gene skipped me. One of my daughters has it, but it missed me. And I've always been very envious of people who have shops down in their basement and can make tables and bookcases and stuff like that. That is not me. Completely handless. Now, all this is a preface to a time I was helping a friend up in Maine put in a new bathroom in his camp. And we got it, got the toilet in, got it all hooked up and everything. And it came to one of the more serious points in installing a toilet, and that is the first flush. Because I was first assistant, they gave me the honor of making the first flush, of pushing it. And, you know, if you've done this before, it has the significance of a rocket ship taking off from Cape Canaveral for Mars. I pushed the lever, and swoosh, the old water went out, the new water went in, nothing leaked, everybody oohed and aahed, and then somebody noticed that there was steam rising from the back of the toilet. I had hooked it up to the hot water. I had messed up. Today, I'd like to look at a young man who was part of St. Paul's life who also messed up. His name was John Mark. And as I've said, this autumn we're looking at the adventures of Paul. And today I'd like to look at the interaction between Paul and this young man. What was his story, John Mark? Have you ever heard of him? John Mark, I think the first scene in his life would be his home. He grew up in Jerusalem. His mother had a big house. And in those days, there were no churches like we have today. Someone had a big home, all the followers of Jesus would come, and that's where they would worship, in the person's home. And this means that John Mark, growing up, had the experience of actually meeting people who had known Jesus. He would see Peter and Andrew and James and John and all the others who'd had firsthand experience with Jesus. And it was very exciting. There's one sort of sad note in that his father is never mentioned. And there's some thinking that his father passed away very early. Now, the great turning point in this young man's life came when Paul and Barnabas came visiting from the church in Antioch in Syria. It was a time of famine in Jerusalem, and Paul and Barnabas were bringing money from the Syrian church to the Jerusalem church to help out. Often when you have famine, there's food available in the country. The poor just can't afford it. So they're bringing financial aid to the people to help them through this time. Barnabas and John Mark were related, they're cousins. And it's a very good chance that Paul and Barnabas actually stayed in the mother's house, John Mark's mother's house, named Mary. She was Mary. The great turning point came when the two, Paul and Barnabas, were going back to Syria. And Mark had the chance to go with him. And it was all very exciting, and he went. And then the Syrian church sends them out on a missionary journey. And he has the chance to go with them, and they're really depending on him. They go to Cyprus, which is an island in the Mediterranean. Very nice, very exciting. But then they come to Turkey. And they come into an area that was prone to malaria, And some thinking that Paul actually came down with the shivers and shakes and the fever that goes with malaria at this point. It was also bandit country. People would take your life as soon as look at you. Human life was worth very little. And in this situation, young John Mark was having second thoughts. He was getting homesick. He missed his mother. He missed the temple bells of Jerusalem. He missed the flaming sunsets at night there. He wanted out of this. He wanted to go back home. And so what he did was go back home. He quit. He left Paul and Barnabas and just took off. And he went back to Jerusalem, set sail for Jerusalem. You know, I think it was Winston Churchill who said, never give up. Never, never give up. But you know, it's very easy, isn't it? Not to see a task through, but just to give up. This Mark, this young person, was back home, back to all the familiar places, back to hearing the temple bells, the old streets, the flaming sunsets at night. But there was a dissatisfaction in his heart. He was no longer at ease. And he sort of wrestled with himself, you know, why? Why had he let Paul and Barnabas down when they really needed him? Why had he just said, no way, I'm out of here? Why hadn't he stuck it through? Deep unease, deep remorse. There's a statement by James Stewart that I sort of like at this point. And he says, sometimes the house of life, the soul, is haunted, and the ghosts of memory walk there, clanking their chains in the dark. Shadows of old, unhappy, far-off things, and wild regrets. Shadows of old, far-off things, and wild regrets. That was John Mark. It's easy to give up. Persistence is a quality of character that's very helpful to us if we can attain it. And I remember a story about a marathon. And I can't remember if it was the Olympics or some kind of international event where the runners virtually had all come in. The awards had been given, the medals had been given. Everybody thought it was finished. But then, at the very last moment, as everybody was packing up to go, there was this runner who came in from, he was a Tanzanian from Africa. And he was dehydrated, his knees were swollen and bleeding. He had fallen early in the race and really hurt himself. And he was just pushing himself as much as he could to get across that line. And afterwards, you know, a reporter said to him, hey, you had a bad fall early in the race. You didn't have to finish. You know, what made you push yourself when you were really in bad shape? What made you push yourself? And he said, my country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start a race. My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish a race. Persistence. If we can attain it, it's important. I remember, who's it, Jim Collins, the guy who does the business books, once made the statement that the difference between great and just merely successful is not the lack of difficulty. It's the ability to take on the difficult, even the calamitous, and come out of that stronger than you were before. Do we have that quality today? I don't know if you remember. Do you remember the old Volkswagens? The old ones? I mean, that's the one car I ever had where I was actually scraping the frost off the inside of the window, not the outside of the window. Those heat boxes, those heat exchangers never worked properly. But do you remember? They had the gas tank, but they didn't have any gauge. But what they did have, I guess you had to run out of gas first before you discovered this. They had a switch where they had a second gas tank, which was enough to get you to the next gas station. But you had to know where the switch was and how to make it. And I think often that's ourselves. When we're in a difficult spot, we're tempted just to give up and head out. When we're in a difficult spot, we often find when we're running out of gas that there's actually a second tank for us, isn't there? There's often a strength, not our own, that God has given to us. And I've always liked St. Paul. He had his share of ups and downs in his own life, as you know. And he said, we do not lose heart. We may be afflicted, but we aren't crushed. We may be perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We may be knocked down, but we're not knocked out. Important lines. Well, that's the first act in this young man Mark's experience. There's a second act, which is a sort of a tragic one for the early church. And that is Paul and Barnabas now want to go and make a second missionary trip. And the Syrian church is willing to support them. And Barnabas wants to take John Mark. This guy who let everybody down on the first journey. This guy who took off, who didn't finish the work when they really needed him. Barnabas is his cousin. He wants to take him. And Paul says, no way. This guy, it's not dependable. We can't rely upon him. He let us down once. He's going to let us down again. And here we have one of the tragic fights of the early church. For Paul and Barnabas divide their ways here. And they don't undermine one another, but they go separately. Barnabas takes John Mark. Paul takes Silas. Again, a very tragic situation with two good people. Barnabas' name means son of encouragement, and that's just what he was. He was a good guy. So is Paul. That's the second scene from John Mark's life. There's a big fight over him. The third scene is interesting. We have that fragment from St. Paul some 15 years later, where he's telling Timothy, go and get John Mark. He's of great help to me. In 15 years, something has happened. In 15 years, there's some kind of reconciliation that has taken place. And John Mark and Paul are friends and co-workers. He's a great help to me. There's a change that's taken place from this guy who left them all high and dry. John Mark is the one person, Paul says, I can count on as I'm awaiting trial in Rome before the Emperor Nero. A change. Sir Edmund Hillary, you remember, was the guy who climbed Mount Everest. And the first time he tried, you know what happened? He didn't make it. And he was about to start a second attempt when he was speaking to a group in Rome. And he was standing on a platform. And he had with him this tremendously big photograph of Mount Everest. And during the talk, he turned to the photograph and he said to Mount Everest, you know, you beat me the first time, but I'll get you the second. Because you've done all the growing you're going to do, and I'm growing still. And he made that climb, and he was successful this time around. And again, people asked him afterwards, and he made the comment, you don't conquer a mountain, you conquer yourself. And that's what Mark had done. Now, again, this guy who let everybody down in the beginning is the one reliable, trustworthy person at the end to see Paul through. And there are different traditions about him. One is that he went to be the interpreter for the Apostle Peter. Another is that he's the one behind the gospel that bears his name. The Gospel of Mark, the first one that was written. And if that's the case, the story of Jesus is something he's passing on to people and to us in every generation. Not bad for a guy who messed up in the beginning. Hang in there. Amen.